This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Research and development. Putting in the man hours to study the science of what you need.
Last week, we put liquid paper on a bee. And it died.
What?
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Can I tell you something without you getting angry? I love you. Yeah, you big guy.
I love you too.
Welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We hope everybody's 2023 is going well so far. Man, it feels crazy to me that the season's essentially over for us. Before I get into that, though, Adam, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? I mean, we got to watch football last week without stressing one damn bit. And I'm not going to lie to you, man, I fucking loved it. I loved every minute of it. We spent 17 weeks just stressing over who got injured, who's getting used, who's not playing. Why the hell ain't they giving player X the ball? What the hell? Why is this dude playing over him? Oh, he almost had a touchdown. And then I'm checking Discord 57 times about injuries and trying to stay up to date with everything Jeff Mueller's doing at Destination Devi on his injury reports. And to actually watch football last week and not – like really give a shit and just enjoy football for football was actually really fun. I missed it so much.
Let me tell you, man, Dynasty Degenerates, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. Mike, I'm doing well. And to give you a quick summary on how that goes, right? Like, so this year, Mike and I have really ramped up content we're doing. So we do a patron show Eastern at 11 a.m. Then we do the start sit show, or what we always say is the start shit show, at noon Eastern, which runs right up until the games, right? So then we have the games. We watch the 1 o'clocks and the 4 o'clocks here Eastern time. And then when the 4 o'clocks finish, you know, it's 7:30-ish. And I'm literally hopping from watching and trying to figure out what's going on right over to the computer to tell everybody what happened. So it's like that process has been fun. Like, I love content creating. I love giving you guys every piece of information I'm learning and all of you guys helping me with information and what you want to know question wise and stuff. But like, it's not the same old, you know, relaxed watching football as it once was. But like, so this week, right? I mean, the Browns are out of it. They're trying to play spoiler for the Steelers. RIP, by the way, it didn't go so well. But my dad's a Steelers fan, right? Like, I was born in Pittsburgh. I was only there for like less than a year. So my dad comes over, watches the game at my house. He's sick right now. So, you know, he's just sitting there watching. We're doing a Browns-Steelers game, which normally is like, you know, Browns-Steelers, if you don't know, is a rivalry that has heated battles. Like, people, they hate each other. They hate Browns fans hate Steelers fans and vice versa. Sitting there watching that game, amicable could be, man. We're sitting there just watching that game. I'm like, yeah, man, Kenny Pickett's kind of looking good. Pickens is looking good. Like, our fucking team sucks. This is what I'm used to. And we're all happy. You know, it's like a, I don't know how I'm happy at the end of a Steelers shellacking of the Browns. We haven't won there in 20 years, by the way. But anyway, to give you an idea of how freeing it kind of was to just sit back and watch football without fantasy, you know, ramifications and stuff. But yeah, you know what, Mike? I say that in one breath, and I'm telling you, in a week, I'm going to be already like, damn, I want fantasy back. I want football. Yeah. Like, football's going to be over before you know it. The Super Bowl is going to hit, and we're going to be fucking in this huge, long offseason. So, while it was a grind, I'm going to miss it tremendously in a quick, short amount of time.
Oh, I'm going to miss it dearly, too. It was just a nice, relaxing change of pace for once. Like you said, I mean, fucking weeks 1 through 17 were so busy. Not only, I mean, we're trying to provide the best possible content to you, the listener, and everybody who taps into anything we do. And, you know, it's a job. Like, it's a job. We're trying to do the best job humanly possible to do it. But we also have our own leagues where we're trying to win money and essentially take other people's money because we're better at this game called fantasy football than they are. So it was very nice change of pace when that's just kind of all said and done to sit back and reflect on the season. And I'm not constantly checking my phone for scores or injuries and on Twitter and Discord and all over the place. And, you know, going from one show to the next and, you know, trying to stay as tapped in as humanly possible and everything going on. That way I can inform you, the listener, what's going on as well. Like, how am I supposed to do that if I don't pay attention to the games, right? So it was nice just to watch it as a fan. I'm going to enjoy the playoffs, and, you know, you got some rooting interest. My Eagles are in there. Unfortunately, your Browns did not make it this year, but my Eagles, number one seed. Let's go. Dallas, late season collapse, like always. Thank you. Appreciate that. Always makes me happy.
Well, real quick, let's not gloss over Sam Howell.
Mike. Oh, my guy. Oh, my. You had no idea how excited I was.
What do you mean I had no idea? I had every idea. The whole time I'm watching Sam Howell, because that game, like, carried over so late. All I'm thinking of is Mike is somewhere and is insufferable. Like, his whole house wants to be hidden from him because he's insufferable.
My wife did ask why I was rooting so hard for Washington when I'm an Eagles fan. And I was like, it's Sam Howell, baby. It's my guy.
She knew something was up. Something was fishy.
It's my guy. It's my guy versus Dallas, our most hated team. My most hated team. I absolutely despise Dallas. So it was fantastic to watch that. But Adam, we get to the playoffs. You know, we'll have, I wonder if we get any of those overreactions like we had on Gabe Davis. Remember when he had the 4 touchdowns last year and everybody went ballistic and he rose in value to a point where people were paying ridiculous prices for him. And then we
leagues I'm in. I put him on the block in every one and I kept him.
Well, that's because we dunk on him too much, man. we can't pump and dump if we never do the pump. I think that's rule one, right? There's no pump and dump if there's no pump. So we got to learn. We got to learn ourselves how to do that. But it'll be nice to watch the playoffs, some rooting interest. Just generally watching playoff football is fun. We had some wild games in the past, and I don't think this year will be any different. We do have some new rules with the week 17 game that didn't get played with Buffalo and in Cincinnati. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out with number one seeds and neutral site games for a possible AFC championship, which would be interesting to see. But other than that, I'm excited. But the big thing, Adam, not only is it a stress relief, but we all collected our league dues here probably within the last couple weeks, our league winnings if you won money. So getting to see the money actually in your account, seeing those green dollars made you excited. But we got a good one to talk about here tonight, buddy. We're going to talk about 23 draft picks because, just like Bill Belichick says, we're on to the next, man. Last year's last year. It's done.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We promise we will get the winner show. Like, we took the L's on the losers, but we'll let that marinate for another week.
I want you to have another week of my Kyle Pitts, my Cam Akers, my RB affinity love, my Justin Jefferson hate. I want you to let that marinate and be excited for that one more week before I tell you what all we got right.
All right, Adam. So 2023 draft picks. We're going to have a really good in-depth discussion tonight about what we're doing with them, tiers, all kinds of stuff. But let's kick it off, man. You got probably the most 23 draft picks of anyone I know, and that includes a guy that I know on this network, Mr. Scott Connor. Destination Dynasty, fantastic. If you didn't catch him live on Sunday, go check out the YouTube page. I know the podcast came out on Monday like always, but go watch him live on the YouTube, interacting with the chat. It was fantastic. We need more Scott Connor in our lives, especially live, especially the super chat options and jumping the line. And I see you made him talk about Cam Akers a little bit because you're an asshole. But go check out Scott, especially when he goes live. It's fantastic. But Adam, all your 23 draft picks, man. Tell the people. What are you doing with them? How many you got?
I mean, I made Scott talk about Cam Akers. I don't know if I'm an asshole. I'm just a kid from Akron, you know, but Mike.
Come on, man. You're just a kid from, stop it.
I'll have to give you my LeBron story a different day because we're talking 23 today. But, you know, all right. So this has actually been something, Mike, that, listen, if you've been tuned into Ray and Destination Devi and a lot of the people that are integral in that, as well as other people that are tapped in the space, like the 23 class has been hyped for a long time. And I think the reality is, right, there's a lot of people that are pushing content in the space today. And Dynasty Degenerates, if you're tapped in, like I know you are, you've heard about this 23 hype since at least 2021. Or if it hasn't been that long, it's been since you've gotten really tapped into the space. You've heard 23 mind-numbingly, speaking of LeBron James, right? You've earned 23 for forever. And I think, you know, people have leaned into the hype of that to varying degrees. And what's fun about, Mike, for myself in a portfolio is looking across my leagues. And, Mike, you know, you talked about the kind of the last weekend, the freeingness of, like, no fantasy implications, right? Watching. Like, I've had a chance to kind of decompress a little bit and think, like, okay, how do we get a step ahead? Like, 4D, right? It's all about outthinking your league mates. When your league mates are playing chess, play 4D chess. So how do we get ahead? You know, how do we get ahead? Well, I'll tell you how you get ahead is you have 23 in 2021, right? That's how you really get it. If you listen to our podcast, you listen to JB, you listen to Ray, you listen to Scott, you got 24 picks lined up, right? But right now, football's being played, right? The playoffs are going to start up. I think most people are going to still be tapped into that very heavily. Not that we won't be, but right now you should be already thinking the 23 season in your league is activated on Sleeper, right? If you're like Mike and myself, we're paid up, man. Here you go. Here's the money. Like,
here's money. It's, let's go.
League starts today. Now, if you're Mike, you had a little more excess funds than myself. I basically took all the money that I won in a couple spots and re-rolled it into all the different spots to break even. But that's what you expect when you lean into 23 like I'm about to tell you that I did. So I am in 20 leagues that are not the C2C format, right? So C2C, like the convolution of the pick, don't really want to apply that here. So in 20 leagues, Mike, I have a total of 61 23 firsts. So when you do the math on that, right? Like you think about, so Mike, I mean, that's a shitload of first round picks, right?
You basically have a quarter of the class in every single league that you're in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you look at it, right? You're in 20 leagues. Now, these are all 12 team leagues except for one. The Royal Rumble. So that one is not 12 team that I have the 23 class picks in. So
yeah.
Oh, the other ones I don't have a pick in. So you're talking about 240 picks, right? Actually, I guess 242. Let's go ahead and do the math correctly. Let's not play around. I got 61.
There so, it is, man. Like you said, math we got on there. This is riveting.
We got over a third, right, in all the leagues. Now, it's to varying degrees, though, Mike. And this is where, like, thinking ahead for me, what I think is nice about the portfolio, at least for me, Dynasty Degenerates, is, like, I don't know what your situation is in your leagues. If you're in 1, 2, 3, if you're in, you're like me, you're in 10, 20. And I don't know what your position is there with 23 picks. But what's nice is, Mike, I'm in a lot of the scenarios. And I can tell you, if you're in a scenario here that I'm not in 23 picks, good for you, because you're just a fucking degenerate that threaded a needle, because I don't know what else exists, right? So, like, Mike, I got five teams that I pushed in trying to win. There's no 23 picks, right?
Zero burger.
Yeah, nothing. Like, okay. Now, now thinking about this, right? If you're in this scenario, do you want to get into 23 class? When should you do it? Should you do it?
All right.
Right?
Listen, I'm on this one. I'm interested because I have a lot of these teams because I won a lot of these fucking leagues this year.
A lot of these leagues I'm rebuilding. Mike, I watched take the crown home again. So he's listening, right? Then you have, you know, so Mike, I have another handful of leagues. So I'm looking at five leagues as well where I have just one, right? You just have either mine, One of these, actually, I have someone else's pick. Made a bet against them, and it was a good one. But, you know, you got one single pick, right? And I think a lot of people will fall into this boat, this category.
Majority of them, yeah.
Right. That's more of a generic talk, right? I have two that have a couple. And then I have multiple, Mike, that you start getting into, which are getting into more of the leverage piece, right? So I have a multiple that have four. I have a couple that have six. I have a league that has nine. This is the OG, the original patron league. I told Mike at the beginning, I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do two things. I'm going to exploit and show that all you fuckers out there talking the quarterback horde ain't real, that it's real. And then after I quarterback horde, I'm going to take every piece of liquidity that exists and I'm going to hold it until it fucking hits peak value. So I have nine. Yeah. I have nine first in that. And that came from a quarterback horde to start. I drafted for the first six rounds, Mike. I don't even remember. The six rounds did not take a skill player. All quarterbacks. Mac Jones in his rookie year. And then, Mike, I have the one crescendo. You know, the one absolute masterpiece that I did just to lean into it. I have the entire set. So I have 12 in one league. So if somehow you're in a scenario which doesn't fit that, like if you don't have all of them or you don't have three quarters or you don't have half or you don't have a quarter, like I don't know what you have, but you should be pretty close to one of those. But Mike, I think here, the reason I actually, all jokes aside, want to talk about this is everybody that's really thinking Dynasty Degenerates, right? We're already thinking about the 23 class. Like if it was up to us, we'd have all the information here. We would know who got drafted where. We would have our draft tomorrow. Like that's how it works, right? We want to have it today, but you don't. But you do want to get ahead of the curve and think about this, right? And Mike, I've thought a lot because the reality is this: there's 20 different leagues now outside of you that's in probably 15 of these leagues. There's a bunch of different league mates. Like you can't control that. So, Mike, what I really want to get into in Dynasty Degenerates, what I want to get into is what can come your way in these different scenarios. I think talking through different ways of how you can play it, and I think I'm going to get a little against the grain towards the end, Mike, on some of these teams where I have leveraged what some might say overly leveraged by having three quarters in a full first round, and what could happen one way or the other. So, Like just generically, Mike, I know you had a lot of contenders, but I know you have a bunch of 23 picks, and I want to get your thoughts too.
All right, well, let's start it off with the first scenario that you mentioned, man. You don't have any picks. You pushed all the chips in. Maybe you won the league. Maybe you came up short. Like we both been in this boat where we won some leagues. We lost some leagues. Maybe we finished second, third, just outside. And you want to get into the 23 class. Like, what's an appropriate value for you, Adam, to get into the 23 first? Even the back end, right? Like, if you kind of want to get these guys. I had to pull up on Keep Trade Cut. They're valuing a late 23 first as damn near a top 50 dynasty asset, which is
We've come a long way, right?
That seems fucking crazy to me.
Really? Right. Why so? Let me ask you this. Why so? Given what's coming.
All right, so some of these guys are, I mean, I guess when I look at the player names.
Right.
I guess when I look at the player names, you're fucking,
Mike,
right.
You know who's still ahead of it? A late 23 first on here?
Who's
fucking
that?
Jameson Williams.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who love JMO. I mean, we're probably going to end up doing a fucking YouTube short video on our channel about Jameson Williams.
The guy right after the 23 first is Tony Pollard. I mean, like.
Yeah.
I mean
just before him, like DeAndre Swift, Ramondre,
yeah.
Davante Adams, who we've had conversations before about, is he still worth a first? Is he not?
Sure. We talked about this with Ray. I honestly think, Mike, for me, given the way things are going, I'd have to know my team and whatever. I would trade out a Ramondre for a first.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess it's just some of the ones that come after, right? Like Treylon. Like, we giving up on Treylon already? And you're ready to re-roll?
I'm not personally there. That would be a bet difference, right? It'd also be, what am I doing? Like, do I have nine picks and I want to go get 10 for more leverage? Like, do I have one and I just want to go get a second? Do I have none? Do I want to trade in a scenario I'm coming off in a contender, like you're talking about here, right? If I'm a contender and I have none, would I rather have my Treylon Burks, or would I rather have a 23 first lottery ticket?
I'd rather have Treylon, to be honest. And I'm looking at his elite first, Adam. Like, this is the 10, 11, 12.
Okay. Well, I think late would also, let's say it's 109.
Okay.
Let's call that the late first start.
109 or Treylon?
I think it's pretty damn close.
I think that's close.
I think I would 10? Lean Treylon, but I'm not going to fight you if you want 109.
10, 11, 12, though? Do you agree that?
10, I think, is close still. I think 11 or 12, I would definitely want Treylon.
Okay. How about DJ Moore?
I think this depends on what you want to do, how you want to play it, right? Like, I think this is where, like, in a scenario, if I have zero, right? If I'm talking one for one, like, I want to know a lot more about team, what your build is, what your plan is to do with the pick. Like, if you think you can take DJ Moore, who I think is still criminally undervalued, like, he's a great receiver that just can't get a quarterback. You want to go get the shiny piece, right? And you want to move it appropriately for Moore, and you think you'll end up with more than DJ Moore. Fine. I think if you're one of these people that kind of tends to hold more than trade, I'll just hold on to DJ Moore.
Let's tell the people exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay.
Sure. It's just, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
We're not going to have specifics, but you're looking at, you know, maybe your second, third, fourth choice of wide receiver in this class. You're looking at a, in my opinion, third tier running back. Right, I think we can kind of all agree about Bijan. We feel pretty good about Jahmyr Gibbs. And then after that, it's just kind of, it feels like a third tier. Like, that's not a knock against these guys, but it just feels less than the other two. Maybe, you know, in some leagues, you might get the fourth quarterback if there's one taken in the first round in the NFL draft. Maybe at the 109. You know, like we saw Justin Herbert in drafts a few years ago, rookie drafts, slip to the 110, 111, 112, right? We saw Mac Jones 2 years ago slip to the early part of the second round in some drafts.
You're skipping ahead and speaking my language. I like where this is headed.
So this is just kind of the range of players you're talking about. So when I'm looking at it, I'm looking at re-rolling Treylon Burks, who went in, kind of went through the rookie struggles. You saw some things you liked. You saw some things you didn't. You had some injury concerns. Do you want to re-roll him for another wide receiver that I think is in probably the same tier as him? I'm good, man. Like, it feels like more of a lottery shot to me. Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, like some of these other wide receivers I could put in the same category, the same boat. What else we got here? Najee Harris? I know Najee didn't have the greatest start to the year. He had a pretty good, decent end to the. Do you want to go to a third tier 2023 running back or Najee Harris? Like, these are kind of the bets you're making. Now, you can argue it from both sides about value and perception and how people perceive things and what you could get other and injury risk. But I think my biggest thing is some of the players around this on Keep Trade Cut, I'm in full agreement. Like, I'll re-roll it. Like, the Tony Pollard thing. Yep, I'm good. Like, see ya. Gone. I'll re-roll for a back end first. Easily. Javonte? Yeah. Davante Adams? Jameson Williams? Yeah. Swift? I mean, as much as you and I like Swift, I think we're going to have that fucking conversation. And a lot of people would. Christian Watson? Yes. TJ Hockenson in a non-tight end premium? I think you have that conversation. I don't know. Maybe it's just the Keep Trade Cut rankings that kind of throw me off because you see the guys behind it and then you see the guys ahead of it where that 23 late first is and you're like, wait a minute. This doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's where we're at right now for value. Adam, one thing I will say, though, I think that 23 first, as we approach, just like with all 23 picks, as we approach Combine, as we approach the actual NFL draft, is only going to keep going up. Like, we look at it as a borderline top 50 asset right now. It wouldn't shock me if this is top 40 by the time the NFL draft rolls around. Like, oh, not at all.
No, Mike, it will be. Let me say that, because when you look at it, right? So right now what I'm looking at, Mike, on Superflex on Keep Trade Cut, 23 late first. Dynasty Generous, late first. 52 off the board. I think that's also a product of the quarterback situation we're looking at, right? Because you only have 12 quarterbacks that people feel good about or secure about. Like, you start getting question marks as soon as you get to Trey Lance, which is 49. So, Mike, think about that for a second, real quick, in Dynasty Degenerates. Think about this. Like, there's some points I want to make here, so I'm glad you kind of transitioned me, Mike. Trey Lance, okay? This is a guy that you spent a top six pick on very likely in the 2020 class, right?
Yeah. Yep.
2021, I'm sorry. This is a guy that's being valued in the very same range as a 23 late first that hasn't actually failed. Now, he hasn't succeeded.
Yes.
But he hasn't failed. Late. 109, 110, 111, 112. Think about how drastic that is for a second, right? Wild stuff. Wild stuff. Just to think about for a second, right? You get to mid, Mike. So mid. Now, you want to talk about playing edges. Now, I don't think you can do this most places. 23 mid, so we're talking 106 range. That's ahead of my Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson.
No fucking way.
Okay. 23 early first, Mike. So we're talking 103-ish, right?
Yep.
Ahead of Garrett Wilson.
No.
Ahead of Christian McCaffrey.
No.
Ahead of Kenneth Walker, the third.
No.
Ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Nope.
Ahead of T. Higgins.
Nope.
Ahead of Kyler Murray?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, I can keep going, but you kind of understand the point here, right?
Chris Olave.
Kyle Pitt. Right. Now think about this, though. Okay. It's January. Just started January. Like, we're going to watch playoff football. So the player needle still has a tiny bit more to move. And then, Mike, as you know what's going to happen. It's like kids that are bound to sprout up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, everybody's tall enough to ride the ride at Cedar Point. You know, everybody's tall enough to ride the ride at the amusement park. These guys are going to get taller, and they're going to go higher. Those picks are guaranteed to pass. Like, Mike, think about that. A late 23 first is almost a lock come April, May to pass Trey Lance.
Wow.
On keep trade cut, at least, you know?
Yeah.
Just looking at what we're looking at today. Now, one for one, one person may catapult higher, one pick may not pass one specific person. But just generically, that's the range we're talking about, okay? So there's a lot of different things I want to talk about here, Mike. I hope we have a chance to get to all of them. We're already 25 minutes in. But let's start here. I actually want to start from the opposite and then ring it back into – more of the scenario where you have one or you have two picks, okay? So let's go to the full extreme scenarios. Now, I know the reason I want to start here is because I want to start here and then reel it back into probably what's more reasonable for people in their leagues with hoarding, right? So, like, I've been told. Now, I also think that for the most part, like, I don't know, Dynasty Generates, if this is wrong, at me on Twitter, yell at me somewhere. Like, I don't know of anyone that actually decided to be crazy enough to go get the full first, or someone would actually let them go get the full first. But people say that, like, at a certain point, you kind of over leverage, right? Like, there's a scenario where you over leverage picks, okay? I know I've heard anywhere from 4 to 6 is kind of where you're getting ahead of yourself, supposedly, is the scenario there. So, like, now, I know this isn't something that Dynasty Degenerates, you're probably going to have a lot of. Let's even say north of 6, right? Over half. Mike, in that scenario, right, like, I think the sentiment typically is what you want to do is leverage the fact that you have the majority and that everyone's coveting these rookies, and you want to move a lot of them. Would you agree with that? Or is that what are your thoughts if you were in a scenario where you had a shit ton?
Yeah, I think I want to leverage the fact that if you want to pick, it's got to come through me. Now, how much you leverage that is going to be depending on your league, right? I'm thinking the league that you own it in. We have a lot of sharp people in that league.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can honestly see a scenario where a lot of people are just like, nah, like, I know what you want to do. Go fuck yourself. You can pick all 12. Good luck to you.
Okay.
You know, best of luck to you, Adam. Like, you have fun with that because you're definitely going to have some busts. I do also see a scenario that's relying on 11 other people being in unison. It's kind of like the QB hoard thing we talked about before, where it's just, it's hard it's hard to make sure or ensure that 11 people are in unison to kind of cuck you out of what you want to do. You know what I mean? Sure. It only takes one. It only takes one guy to go like, I really want the 107 from Adam. And he gives you exactly what you want, if not more.
Well, in that scenario too, right? Like, cause I still want you to talk about this more, but I'll just kick it with this real quick. In that scenario, if someone does get rookie fever for whoever 107 might be, and they want 107, there's only one person to get 107 from.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There is. But, there's only one.
But anyway, so like, I don't know if you had any further thoughts on like, if you're in that scenario.
On the flip side too, like it's a fascinating spot that you're in with that, because you also open up the ability where, at least if I was in your shoes, Adam, I'm willing to be a little bit risky and make my own bets, you know, like, okay, you want to get into the first round. We just talked about the kind of range of back end first and some of the players around it. Adam, if there's dudes you like around it that you can get and you're like, this cost me the 111. I don't give a shit. Like, I'll give up the 111. I got 11 other picks. I'll be fine. If you wanted to make a bet on, you know, Javonte, if you wanted to make a bet on Trey Lance or Ayuk or, you know, J.K. Dobbins or whatever the fuck you find that's your guy that you're like, you know, I want to start building out this team for 23. I want to try to compete. I mean, you almost have carte blanche to go out and buy those guys what may be a perceived slight loss in value, but it doesn't affect you that much, right? It doesn't affect you detrimentally in the end. You'll be looking at it going like, do I want to take all 12 of these picks, or do I want to, you know, sprinkle a little bit around and make a bet on, you know, maybe one of these running backs or maybe one of these wide receivers who will actually outperform that. And if you miss, you have a nice, soft, cushy landing spot where you had 11 other chances, 10 other chances, 9 other chances, 8 other chances, whatever the hell you end up with for picks, to actually be right on the pick side as well, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, you know, I'm kind of prepping some things here last second. But, like, okay, so when you think about this, right? So let's say you had this scenario. You probably don't have 12. But just for the hypothetical listening point, and I promise I will backtrack to what's probably more reasonable for you. I want you to think about, for a second, Dynasty Degenerates, if you had 12 picks, like, let's say you had the 23 first as a whole. Like, somehow, some way, you had the whole thing. Yep. The whole gauntlet. Like, just think before I'm getting into this, like, what you would be thinking, what you would be doing today. It's January 10th when I'm recording this, but it's going to be what? Friday will be the 13th. So, Friday the 13th. Boom. Here we go. Right?
Ominous.
Right? Friday the 13th. What are you going to do? You got the whole fucking first round. Now, Mike, let me just tell you a couple different things that I think are very interesting here. So I have some ADP data as well as a mock draft in 2020. And I also have 2021, right, in front of me here. So the reason I want to start here is I think there's a narrative around this, right? And I also think it's kind of true. Like, typically, like, if you think about it from a smaller lens, there's going to be a bunch of bust here. Like, there's just, it's undoubtedly the case. There's going to be a bust or two. Like, there might even be more. Like, and here's the other thing. Like, I would say this. I think when I talk about rookie talent, there's not a single person that I've even come close to knowing, let alone listening to, that gives me a better edge than does Ray GQ, right? Ray Garvin, our boss.
Yeah, period.
Not even close. Ray, I think, has actually done a great job of hitting a lot of things correctly. But even Ray misses. Like, even if you know everything, like, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. A guy could go to a bad landing spot. A guy could get hurt. There's so many scenarios you don't have control over. Let's just say for a second, Mike, because you kind of touched on the Thunder early. In Arkham, let's say that's Arkham Asylum is the league where I have 12. So we called it Arkham Asylum because in the startup, the craziest shit just started happening, and it's like we were in the insane asylum. So we called it Arkham Asylum, right? I ended up getting all 12. Finally, I got Jag to give me that 12th. But let's say it worked against you. So obviously, in a perfect scenario, you'd want to leverage away some picks for extra value at peak time. But let's say you got stalemated, right? So let's say you got all 12 and you got stalemated. Like, nah, you know what? Like, he did us dirty. He has the whole fucking first. I'm not letting him do what he wants to do. Let's say you push back, all right? Okay, so you force me, or you force yourself, Dynasty Degenerates, if you're thinking about this, to make the entire first round picks. Like, let's just use recent history, because what I can tell you is 122 doesn't have enough data to prove what guys have done or haven't done, but also 21. we can also guarantee that 22, as far as what we know going into it, was the most depressed class value. Like, and it just does, in 23 doesn't compare to 22, right? So I'm going to start with 2020, and I'm going to use 2021 as well. Okay, so Mike, like, when you think about 2020, so let's say, just in a scenario, you got stuck with all 12 2020 picks, okay?
Yep,
nailed them all. And let's say that same sentiment just came through, right? Like, fuck this guy. He took all the picks, so we're going to make him hold them the whole way through. I don't care what happens, not buying them. Let's just, this is a fake pretend game, but let's pretend it happened, okay? So startup data for rookies, right, in 2020. So the 101 JT, the 102 CEH, the 103 Joe Burrow, the 104 J.K. Dobbins, the 105 Tua Tagovailoa, 106 Cam Akers, 107 DeAndre Swift, 108 CeeDee Lamb, 109 Justin Herbert, 110 Jerry Jeudy, 111 Jalen Reagor, 112 is, by some people's standards, the best player outside of Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Jefferson.
Motherfucking Jefferson. So you look at that class, Adam, where we are now,
So that's what I want to do, Mike, is I'm going to go through this one by one. I want you to give me generic first what basically these guys cost. Or in CEH's cases, obviously less than a first, but like, we'll just play the whole, we'll play the bust and we'll play the upside guys. Just if you got stuck with these guys, let's just in a pretend vacuum.
All right. JT first plus.
All right.
Where he is now. Okay. CH third.
Okay, third. You want to just discount him? Like, he don't even count? Yeah, like, no value. Count.
Joe Burrow, three first. Okay. You come with three first if you want Joe Burrow.
So hold on real quick before you pass that, right? Because so at the 103, you've already made up three firsts of the first two picks. Before, and that's CEH a zero. Yeah. That's the bust of CEH at 102, and that's not even getting into JT being still over a first. Okay, Dobbins. Second, maybe early cost, second?
Maybe he costs a first, but I highly doubt it, yeah.
Early second? All right, let's just say generic second, just for the sake of argument. Okay, Tua Tagovailoa.
Two firsts.
Okay. I think that's appropriate. I don't know. I think he's kind of one of the more volatile, like value-wise, but I think there's no way you can say single first today.
No.
Okay, Cam Akers.
Second.
Okay, agreed. DeAndre Swift. Late first?
Second.
Okay. All right, late first. Well, let's just go second. Well, I want to do the sake of argument, worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb.
Two first, easy.
Okay, two first. Okay, and Justin Herbert.
Three firsts.
Oof. I don't mind what I'm hearing right now. Jerry Jeudy.
Second.
Okay. And Jalen Reagor. No value? We'll see him, no value. All right.
He doesn't count.
Justin Jefferson.
Three firsts, man.
All right.
I'd say two, but it's more than two, but it's probably less than three. It's a lot. It's a fucking lot. He's good.
All right, let's go three, because Keytrade Cut will tell you he's more valuable than any player that's not Mahomes and Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah. Holy shit, balls.
All right. So I'm going to start 2020. We'll get to 2021 in a second. See, the reason I wanted to start with 2020, Mike, is we have enough data. These guys are going into year four now, right? Like, we know what it is, right? What it has been or what it hasn't been is probably fluctuated for a lot of these guys. But what it is right now, we know what it is. We also have a large enough sample size to feel good about it, okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, JT, right? I mean, this is a guy that was crazy valued, but obviously had a bad year and also had the injury, okay? Still is retaining a first in value. So right now, think about this. Let's even say JT is not even a first plus. Let's just say he's a single first. and then CH is a no first, right? So you had the first two picks in this class be worth one first. Like, that right there, Mike, is going to scare people off from, like, I don't want to have that happen to me.
Yes.
Right? Okay. You get to the next pick, all of a sudden you made up everything back. Joe Burrow's three firsts, he's a top five dynasty quarterback.
Boom.
And then the next pick, you lost it back. J.K. Dobbins has crippled you, you know?
Gone down.
Broke your heart, you know? Tua, very volatile, but at this point still worth more than the 105 was at that point. Cam Akers, been a bust. I mean, he's had his moments where he's been valued incredibly high, but he's been a bust. Coming off of a decent year, he's probably worth a second-round pick in a lot of your leagues. DeAndre Swift has had moments of being incredibly valuable and now has had Jamal Williams break Barry Sanders' touchdown record, so he's catapulted down in value, right?
Yes.
CeeDee Lamb, two firsts. Justin Herbert, three firsts. Oh, Jerry God. Judy has not done what you wanted. Jalen Reagor has been – him and CEH, like so when you think about it, right, you got CEH and Jalen Reagor on
fighting single, for the biggest busts.
On single-pick basis, right? No, but think about this. This is honestly – this is real shit. Like, this is kind of important to think about what you have, right? Because if you take one pick and you decide I'm going to hold this for forever, like, this is why people get scared. If you wind up with Jalen Reagor as your one pick, you've burnt everything to the ground.
Yeah.
CEH, you've burnt it all to the ground. But if you have the whole thing, Mike, if you have the whole thing, you can eat the L's. And see, this is a point I think that people don't realize with the leveraging piece, which is where having 12, I think, is more valuable than anything else. Mike, if I hit three Joe Burrows, which this class had more than three Joe Burrows, I win.
Yeah.
I could lose the other nine picks. I could have CEH and Jalen Reagor for the other nine picks, and I still win. I can handle that variance. The problem is, Mike, I think as you start to trail down, but just think about this real quick before I trail down. Okay, so Justin Jefferson, we're saying it's three plus, right? Let's just say three. Let's just narrow it down lower for the sake of argument. Herbert's mm-hmm. worth three. So now you're at six. CD's worth two. Now you're at eight. Two is worth two. Now you're at 10. Burrow? I mean, Mike, you're already over the 12 right now, today.
Yeah.
With all the busts. With all the busts.
He netted more, even with the busts.
Right. And I think the big thing here that's not being discussed about this part is this, Mike. Justin Jefferson, Justin Herbert, CeeDee Lamb, Joe Burrow especially. So you got four guys well within the top 10. Well within the top 10. So that has another leverage piece that's even more valuable than future firsts. You have four top 10 players and young top 10 players. People will blow their load on these types.
I think even if you go back to like 2019, Adam, I just had to pull it up real quick mm-hmm. and just look at it and do some quick math in my head.
Sure.
Like worst case scenario, you're coming out like 9-12. Worst case. And that was a pretty shitty class as far as the first round goes, right? You got, you know, David Montgomery, I don't count. Miles Sanders, no. Darrell Henderson, no. N'Keal Harry, no. Devin Singletary, no. Paris Campbell, no. So the rest of it, though, like, right, Josh Jacobs probably gets you a first. Kyler Murray will get you a couple first. DK Metcalf's getting you a couple. AJ Brown's getting you a couple. Debo, TJ Hockenson probably get you one each at least. So
sure.
Just some quick math on that. Even in an absolutely fucking disgusting, horrible class, that's, you know, year five. Year five. People still like it. You talked about 2020. 2020 is on the level of 2023. So let's see what 2021 sure. has.
Well, that, yeah, and then so okay, so Mike, we'll start. Okay, 101 was T-Law.
Oh yeah, that's three firsts right there, baby. Okay. At least two. You put down two. We'll be conservative. Two.
Okay.
Two.
Mike's trying to show that he's not just a biased T-Law guy. Okay, two firsts. All right, fair enough. Justin
he's
Fields.
Good.
Justin Fields.
Two.
Okay. Now, Mike, what I want. Dynasty Generates, what I want you to understand here is this. We've also had less time for these guys to erode. Understand what JT would have been a year ago, right? So think about time here for a second as we get into 2021, okay? This isn't even getting to 22. But we're already at four firsts through two picks here. And now, mind you, Mike, T-Law and Fields, both in their first year, year and a half for sure, were called busts. So, anyway, carry on. Pick three is Trey Lance.
He gets your first, at least.
Okay.
He just talks about it.
Okay. So, we're gonna put a single first for Trey Lance, which is probably appropriate, probably a late one. But, yeah, I'm with you. Najee Harris.
Maybe a first, but we'll say second for shits and giggles.
Okay. We'll go second just because, you know, we don't want to be on the high end here. Javonte Williams.
Second.
Okay. Jamar Chase.
Three first, man.
Okay. Now, you may not agree with the data that I'm looking at here, but this is – you can shake it whatever order you want to. The point is we're talking the whole class here, okay? So, Travis Etienne.
First, at least.
Okay. Let's just be moderate. Kyle Pitts. First. Tight end premium.
First. Okay.
Single first. Wow.
Let's
even be modest, though. Let's even say a single first, which I think
I'm being modest.
Most people are not even going to think about giving you Kyle Pitts for a late first, but we'll just put it for modesty. You know?
They kiss their ass and move. Yeah. They laugh at you.
Zach Wilson.
Try to send the 111 for Kyle Pitts and see how fast you get left at.
Someone tells you to get boned.
Zach Wilson, we won't count. That's a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though he's good.
No value.
Still like Zach. Still like you, Zach.
I'm glad that you said that because I was going to have to do it. All right. Jalen Waddle.
Oh, man. Two first, and I'm being modest.
Okay. I think two first is a minimum, and I think that's probably right, though. Mac Jones.
We'll say second. Okay. I mean, this may be modest.
Devontae Smith.
Two first, man. Pretty close. You want to be modest and say one single first, go for it. But
I think that I'll arrow up Smitty. Two first is probably heavy on him, but I think we've been light on other people.
Smitty or any wide receiver in this class, it's going to be resounding Smitty.
I would think now for sure. I mean, week one, it was not close the other way around, but that's how the fickle manager goes. All right, regardless, okay, let's just use these as an example.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence is worth two. Fields is worth two. You're at four.
Yep.
Lance is worth one. You're at five. Najee is worth a second. Javonte is worth a second. I mean, is it safe to say those two picks are worth a single one, or is that not even one yet?
Sure.
Can we lump – how about we lump Zach Wilson, no value, into that to get one first?
There you go.
All right.
To get you the 101.
So we're at two, four, five, and then we're at six, including Wilson and the two running back busts.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you got Chase. That's another three, Mike. So now what are we at?
I don't know. I stopped doing math.
Two, four, five, six. That's nine, okay? ETN's 10. Pitts is 11. Waddle gets you to 12. And Smitty, even if it's one or two, gets you a net ahead, all right? Now, that's in generic first future values. And that's with Mike, as he is admitting, being probably modest with a lot of these guys.
Very.
Right?
Very.
Saying on a low-end scale, just for sake of argument point. Mike, I mean, I think we can agree. Like, 21 outside of Chase actually hasn't really netted us what we hope for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment of the class?
I will say this. If you asked this question last year, yes, most people were panicked as fuck on this class. They thought it was horrible. Everybody thought Fields. Everybody thought fucking Trevor Lawrence was bust. They're done. They're over with. They're horrible.
Maybe some of them have recouped a little value. But, Mike, I think here's what I can say. From what we thought Pitts was, he's not there. From what Correct. The ETN hype and hope was, he's not there. Zach Wilson, fucking gigantic miss. Mac Jones, as much as he was good in his rookie year, maybe you thought you'd landed something, has lost value. Trey Lance is hanging by a thread. Najee and Javonte lost huge value this season. Like, by and large, I think the class has actually not given us what we maybe had hoped for 21. Now,
and yeah, Fields and Lance are on pace now.
Right. They have recouped some value. Obviously, Chase is a one-off. And I think Waddle and Smith have kind of helped catapult.
Suppressed, right?
Yeah.
More late-round wide receivers in the first round that ended up being hits. Who knew?
All right. And the reason I'm not going to use 22 is because we had one first-round quarterback, which we know is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a better class last year, I think we'd have more data to even prove better. But the point here, Mike, is this. Dynasty Degenerates is this. If you sat there and forced someone that had 12 first-round picks to make all 12, and if they had to diamond hand them, here's what's basically guaranteed in classes that are loaded like this. Look at the last 2 years, Mike, when I look at this data. And this is something I had to really think about before I talked about this on the show. You're going to land superstars. Now, here's the difference. You will net. You will guarantee be holding some fucking bags that are L's. Right? Like, it's almost like if you open a pack of cards. Like, you're going to get some shit fucking cards in there. You're going to get some cards that you literally want to throw in the trash. Like, I don't want this.
Me every time I open up a Top Shot pack.
Right? Right? But if you go back to, you know, 98, 99, and you open that Vince Carter rookie. And Mike, if I have the whole box, I have the whole box. Right? My odds are up for that to happen. I think that's what actually needs to be said about the leverage point, and that's why I want to go in reverse here. I wanted to start here, right? Because if you have the whole box, yes, you will land fucking zeros. Okay? You're gonna hit Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No, you're not going to hit, but you're going to get stuck with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? You're going to get stuck with Jalen Reagor, right?
You're going to want to hit yourself over the head.
Yes. You're going to get stuck with Zach Wilsons.
Yes.
You're gonna end up having the highs and lows of Najee Harris. You're going to have the excitement of Javonte and the low of Javonte, okay? All right. So that being said, if you were forced to hold them for that amount of time, you're going to have all the L's. But if you did keep them all, you have, one, some of the youth that no one else can have, right? You have that on a complete island still of leverage. And then, two, Mike, you have an asset that every single person in your league will bend over for.
Because it covets, wants, needs. Right.
The superstar that's young, everybody wants it. Now, what I can tell you this, I don't foresee a Jamar Chase or a Justin Jefferson in this class, okay? But I can tell you this. I can't guarantee what's going to happen with all these guys. But this class is really good. It's got a lot of good players. So if you force my hand and say, you know what, we're going to fuck you over, you're going to hold all these picks, I want them all. You know why I want them all? Because if I don't have to make decisions, Mike, and I take every single one, I don't feel the effects of Jalen Reagor. You know? Now, if you have two picks and you took CEH and Jalen Reagor, you have lit your dynasty team on fire.
It's over.
You have lit your dynasty team on fire. If you have four picks, right? And let's say in 2020 you had four picks and you took Cam Akers, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, and Jalen Reagor, you have lit your dynasty team on fire and you are giving an orphan away that nobody wants to take. Unless you trade it out.
4 years out, you have lit your dynasty.
I'm only talking right now in dynasty terms. Yeah. I'm only talking as if you didn't trade him, right? Like the question that Ray poses.
I get you.
You drafted him, you have to keep him, okay? Mike, all these valuations now, get into that next point. Don't assess at all the value highs and lows that each one of these players had. DeAndre Swift valued at a second. Not long ago was two firsts.
Not long ago, like as of the start of the season. He was Dynasty RB2 for just about everybody.
Cam Akers, it does seem like a long time ago, but going into the season after his rookie year was being drafted in the second first round religiously. J.K. Dobbins was very highly drafted. Jalen Reagor, as much as he flapped and nobody wanted him, was still, you could get a second for him, right? Like, even on the worst case scenario, you could get out a little bit of value before it's no value. The reason I'm saying all this, Mike, and I want to get your thoughts because I've been doing a lot of talking here. I had to really think about, like, what if these fuckers stick me?
What if they do it to you?
And you know what? Mike, the more I thought about it and the more I dug and the more I made sure, I pray you do. Arkham, get crazy on me. Make me make all of them. Make me make every single one of them in this scenario, because in this scenario, Mike, I'm happy to do it. Now, when we start getting lower, I want to start talking about different ways to manipulate and how you think is best fit for your team. But I wanted to start here at the extreme and then go, and then reel it back.
I feel you, man. I'm looking in that league, like, I think you're sitting pretty. But it's the extreme scenario of you owning all 12 or 11 or 10 or I would even say 9. It starts getting dicey when you start getting to that, like, I own half the class. Because there are enough picks, if you get stuck with them and make, be absolutely detrimental. Yeah, you may hit on Herbert. You may strike out on the other five. It may be an absolute right. dumpster fire. Right. Or you may just tread water, you know, with a couple of them. But you can't overcome the zeros. And I think that's what a lot of people are in situations when they do nuclear rebuilds. And then I see it all the time when they're when they have like 5-6 picks. You know what I mean? I'm glad you have the leverage, but they never use the leverage. Right? They're like, correct. If you're gonna make me, correct. If you're gonna make me make the picks, I'll go ahead and make the picks. But as you can see going through this exercise, that's where you can get in trouble. You almost reach a point when you have 12 picks, 10, 11, anything in that range. Like the odds are in your favor that you're never going to fuck it up.
Well, because here's the thing too, Mike, right? Like, okay, if I have...
Unless you're taking Trey Sermon, you know what I mean?
Well, like, and that's the other thing, right? Like I'm sure in, let's use, what, 2020, let's say, Keyshawn Vaughn maybe snuck in for somebody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to say this is perfect data. You can't draft. Someone might have taken Henry Ruggs. But now, Mike, I mean, in the second round, let's call it what it is. If I wanted to get greasy, I mean, T. Higgins was an early second, right? Michael yeah. Pittman was yep. an early second. Brandon Ayuk was a mid-second, right? Like, there's scenarios there, too. Point is, though, Mike, I actually think in a scenario where I have 12, when you come to me for one, right, because – let's say I think I know everything. Okay, let's use 2020. I want to keep Jalen Reagor because he's one pick ahead, but I want to sell Justin Jefferson. Well, I can guarantee people took Jalen Reagor ahead of Justin Jefferson, so people probably would have traded away the second receiver on their books in this scenario. Mike, when I have 12, I'm less likely. I'm more likely to just take the whole thing, take all the variants, and make everybody else sweat out the fact that they don't have youth. I'll play that up. Now, let's get more serious about realistic things, right? I think you kind of hit it on the head too. I think 9 to 12 gives you an insane pack of cards, right? Like, you can almost embrace the variance, and I think there's more scenario that's going to give you points of pivoting for value than there is hurting you. Now,
yes.
I think what's more realistic, it starts at 6, okay? And, Mike, I kind of want to get your thoughts at 6 because let's say you've accrued half. And I think that's, like, reasonable enough for most people to have done if they knew about 23 ahead of time, like Ray was preaching and a lot of people here, 21 season. Like, get your 23 picks now, right? If you did that ahead of time or early enough, you might have been able to get 6. So if you got 6, you got half. Let's say they're very even, right? Like, let's just use... 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, right? Like you have, they're all spread out throughout the class. Like if you make those all 6, now I think you're really embracing variance at this number of picks. If you were to actually take them all, because yeah, there's probably a scenario where like, shit, man, you land JT, Joe Burrow, Tua, DeAndre Swift, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Reagor, you even miss on Justin Jefferson and you're still sitting pretty. But the opposite's true too. Like you could have landed CEH, you could have landed J.K. Dobbins, you could have landed Cam Akers. Even if you landed CeeDee Lamb, you got Jerry Jeudy. All of a sudden now, like, you got all 6 picks and all you got really to show for it now is CeeDee Lamb. Like, I think that's where, when you start getting to half and lower, I think the bets you're making mean a lot more if you were to actually hold them out.
I think too, when you get to 6, like I've been in this position multiple times, and the way I like to leverage it is twofold. So you have that many picks, you're free to move up and down the board into tiers, into guys that you feel maybe more comfortable about, guys that you have more conviction about, and they don't always hit. They don't always hit. But the other way I really like to leverage it is by just simple dynasty leverage tactics, right? So I did this before, Adam, in a 14-team Superflex league. I had like 6 picks, and this is the 21 draft. And what did I do? I went out and took every fucking quarterback in that draft. Was I going to hit on every one of them? No. I mean, you talked about him like, Zach Wilson, what do you do for me? Like, where am I sitting with him? Nothing. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields after year one, did it look good? No. No, it didn't look good. But now it looks really good. Now it looks just fine. Tua, you know, not Tua, Mac Jones. Again, after year one, looked great. After year two, not that bad. But if I'm going to actually have to make these picks, I can't trade them, I can't move them, whatever. Let me get into another leverage piece. Let me get into another position where I can leverage the league in a different way. So am I going to hit on all of them? No, but where we sit right now, here today, in the beginning of 2023, sitting with Trevor Lawrence, sitting with Justin Fields, you know, I have two of the top 8, top 9, top 10, however the fuck you want to rank them, dynasty quarterbacks in a 14-team Superflex league. Like, I have the upper hand and the advantage. And even some of these other guys that people are hoping, you know, I wanna buy in. You know, I'm like Mike. I still believe in Zach Wilson, or I still believe in Mac Jones. I want to buy into those guys. Yeah, I have those dudes too. I don't have a lot of incentive to move them for a discount. So if you want to get one of these quarterbacks, you're gonna have to come buy Trevor Lawrence. You're gonna have to come buy Justin Fields, and you're gonna have to pry it out of my hands. Not only did I have leverage in the draft, I have leverage the year after, and I have the leverage 2 years after. This is the price you have to pay, and you're still using that leverage. 2022 would have been a different story, right? There's only one. Like, what the hell are you going to do? You can't leverage that position. You're forced to take wide receivers or running backs or whatever the fuck else, and you can lose that leverage in a heartbeat, but when we look at 2023 with this class, you know, we're projecting 3-4 quarterbacks in the first round. If you got 6 picks and you can position yourself where you can take all 4 of them, if they all 4 go in the first round, again, even if you strike out on a couple of them, but you hit the only 2 in this class that are supposed to replenish and renew the quarterback ranks heading into 2024 and beyond, that's still a leverage point, right? That's still a leverage point to where you can get out where, you know, I spent 4 picks on 4 quarterbacks. You know, I spent all 4 of them on it. Adam, we just talked about it. Like, some of these dudes are going to be worth 2. Maybe they're going to be worth 3. You get 2 guys that are worth 2 first, you still come out ahead. You still break even. You get one of those guys that's worth 3, maybe the Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes tier, the Bam tier, the Jalen Hurts possibly. Like, those kind of quarterbacks. Holy shit. Like, you're still making out like a bandit. You're still fine. So,
yeah. Well,
I think the problem becomes when you get like 4, 5, 6 picks in this range and you forego, you know, like, I'm not going to leverage quarterback. I'm good here. You know, I think I know better. I'm going to take this running back. I'm going to take this wide receiver. I'm going to take this tight end. And then 2, 3, 4 of those guys bust and you have no out whatsoever.
Man, it's funny. It's almost like this is why we do a podcast together. Strap in, Dynasty Generates. We're going to be here for a while because there's a lot of different ways this can go. This is why I told Mike we got to push winners back 1 week, because I want to get this out ahead of time. I want people to think about this ahead of time. I want this to be something you can take advantage of in your leagues. Mike, everything I set up for the 12 team, right? Or the 12 picks, right? Everything I set up there is if you took them all and held them for 3 or 2 full seasons. Okay. Let's talk about really quickly. Any scenario, 6, 2, 10, 12, I don't care how many picks you have. Mike, what, when you think about the 2021 class, when you think about the 2022 class even, but probably lesser extent there because it was a bad class, you think about the 2020 class, you talk about very early on. So you make these picks in, let's say, May-ish, right, after the NFL draft. Let's say you're not someone that's a degen and does it beforehand. Make these picks in May. Mike, what's going to happen with the players before they fail? As the class is already building hype, but hasn't failed yet, right? And as the 23 season approaches in NFL, their value is north of one first in 24. Like, you can pivot off of almost all these guys before they fail for more than 124 first, yes, even after the draft, right?
Yeah.
So if you have some, like, if you have the hostage approach, like, people aren't going to let you out, okay, I'll just wait you out too. Because now we're going to approach the NFL season and people want what they think is threading the needle, a guy that can score points and is young. That's a flip right there. Now let's talk about from six for a second. So you got six picks, okay? Now, Mike, if you, I think here is where you have to really assess what you have going on with your build and your team. What do you need? What players are you willing to make your bets on? Do you have a quarterback need? Like, there's a lot of teams right now that have a quarterback need. And are you willing to leverage multiple picks to go get what you believe is your guy, whether it's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, whoever it is? Do you want to do that? Are you already positioned to get them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you need running back help? Are you willing to wait and just take your plethora in the second round? Or do you want to go get Bijan? Do you want to go get Gibbs? Like, I think when you have six, are you in best ball or are you in lineup? What do you need? I think here's where you have to kind of, like you said, craftily decide how you want to tier up. Or if you're in, like, best ball, right? 101, Bijan. I love Bijan. I want Bijan on a lot of teams. But if someone's going to pay the piper for Bijan, and they'll let me have more picks, and I already have another five, I'll get closer to making that whole box pick, you know? Like, I think there's a lot of different ways you can look at having six. But I think it ultimately here comes down to your build. Are you in lineup start nine? Like, do you need a quarterback really bad? Do you need a running back? What do you want to do? How do you want to leverage the picks that you've acquired now and built up value? How do you want to make them fit for your team? I don't really advocate for drafting for need, so I don't want to suggest that. But if you have a specific need and you want to go make a bet on one player, this is probably where you're going to do that, because you still have enough to backfill. You still have enough picks with six to make a different decision. I think at six is where it's very interesting, Mike. You could tier up. I think you could tier down and still take a whole bunch of players. Mike, but let's talk for a second, though. Let's say you got four. I think here's where it gets very interesting. So you've got, like, I think this is a very realistic scenario for people, right? You had your own. You acquired over two seasons another three picks. Like, that's not crazy. 25% of the class, right? Like, I'm sorry, a third, Mike. You got a third of the class. I think here is where it gets really tough. What you do. If you have, yeah. I know you got teams with four. I'm just trying to think. I see you looking at stuff like your teams with four. How are you approaching it?
So I pulled up a couple examples just in the past and kind of seeing how I worked it out and how I played, you know, trying to figure out worst case scenarios. So I had a league where I drafted Najee, Zach Wilson, and Jamar Chase in that order. Like, I took Jamar Chase, you know, they let him fall to like the 105, and I took Zach Wilson above him, but I had back-to-back picks.
Right. So I'm looking at it. It doesn't really matter. Yeah.
So I'm looking at it and going, well, fuck, I hit on Jamar Chase. Now, luck, happenstance, it could have easily been Smitty, could have been Waddle, could have been Kyle Pitts, whatever. But I did hit on Jamar Chase, right? So I made all those picks back already at him. But I'm also looking at it and going, when we talk about time and what we're doing, at one point I traded away Najee Harris, right? And how highly Najee was valued. And what did I get in return? T. Higgins and a 22 pick, right? So this is like right in the middle of Najee Harris smashing his rookie year. Absolutely destroy. I get T. Higgins. Where's T. Higgins at now? Looks great. Like, I'm happy.
Top 10 dynasty wide receiver, right?
You'd have a hard time trading T. Higgins for Najee Harris. Or Najee Harris for T. Higgins. Like, that's not going to happen. That 22 pick, Adam, like, just a dart throw, became the 102. In 2022, which is wild. So that turned into Kenneth Walker. And now I'm sitting there with Kenneth Walker and like thinking of all the things you can do with Kenneth Walker. The point is, with draft picks, this is why, I mean, we don't advocate for making them all if you have to, But even in like the worst case of the worst case of the worst case, if you have multiple draft picks, you have so many outs to get away from. And that's why there's so much better investment than just straight players. It's so much easier to invest in draft picks or draft capital because they're fluid, they're liquid. The values tend to rise and they rise for a while. And you get into the early part of the player's rookie season, even if you had to make that pick. And, you know, outside of just a handful of guys, like the value usually goes up. You know, even after I bet, you know, a game or two of Jalen Reagor, there's still people like holding on, like, oh, yeah, he's going to be fine. I do remember the panic on like Justin Jefferson. He's horrible. Can't beat out, you know, KJ Osborne or Olabisi Johnson, or, you know, he was having a hard time.
I'm not even going to tell you some of the Justin Jefferson trades I saw in like week three.
Right. But even, you know, you get to the later part of the season and then people are ecstatic about him, right? So you do kind of have to play the windows and the values. But Adam, you know it, like the Jalen Reagor didn't hit rock bottom. We talked about even after the season, after the horrible season he had, you're still getting out for a mid second. But I guarantee you within season, there are all kinds of people would be like, yeah, I'll give you my my late.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll buy low on a talented kid.
You know, I'll give you my late 2021 pick. I'll give you my late 21 pick, you know. And that fucking pick could have turned into Jalen Waddle. You know what I mean? Like, you have so many outs to get out of these guys. I think worst case scenario, even if you're stuck with like three picks, Adam, mm-hmm. and you do a piss poor job of leveraging and nobody lets you and you have to make the picks, I think you're fine. I still think you're fine. Mm-hmm. Yes, could it go all wrong? 100%. But I don't think it's that bad, right? It's kind of like this golden parachute that you have with the draft picks. I think you'll be just fine. The problem I think a lot of people have is your most likely scenario where you have one pick.
I would agree. Now, before I get to that point, Mike, because I think here with the leverage point, I think there's a few things that you already touched on. But one, when you have a few of these picks, like three, four, the first thing you have is you obviously have leverage, but like even if you take all these players, you still have the youth and the mindset of them. Like if you look at Keep Trade Cut and you think about the 22 class, which was supposedly a really bad class, people didn't want to even invest in or trade up into the back end of the first round, right? I mean, you look at the top 50 guys, it's littered with 22 picks. Breece Hall. I mean, you can keep going down the list. Chris Olave, obviously Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson, wide receiver one in the 22 class. But you got, you know, Chris Olave, who had a very good season. You had guys who didn't have a great season, like Drake London. Drake London took a very long time. He started hot and then took a very long time to come around. Like Drake London had value insulation even when he wasn't doing well, right? Like you look at this class, Mike. Like the only one, and this is where it's wild to me. I'm not going to go through the whole pick of the 22 class one for one. But like you think about every scenario you would have gotten stuck with in 22, right? Like even if you were one of the dummies that decided I'm going to take Damian Pierce in like 107, 108, yeah. you hit a value bump for a second, right? Like,
yeah.
Drake London started hot, cooled down. With Jameson Williams, you kind of had this bet of like, I'm going to just hold. Craziest part to me about this, Mike, is Jameson Williams, who has done absolutely fuck all, is still a top 40 dynasty player. Not wide receiver, player in Superflex. Yeah. The only person that burned people to really horrific heights in the first round this year, Mike,
was Jalen Reagor.
Jalen Reagor in 2020, but yeah.
No. It's the same player.
Sky Moore and Jalen Reagor, they're the same player. Jalen Reagor in 2020, Sky Moore, Jalen Reagor. Yeah, you know, that's this year's burn, yeah. But, like, think about that. Even this year, like, just use for a second a bad class that had one quarterback and think about where we are today.
Yeah. Horrible, horrible class.
Mike, if you took four or three of them, you're not bad. Now, there are variables, right? There are different levels of whether you hit or didn't hit, right? Like Kenny Pickett probably treaded water. Chris Olave was a value bump. Garrett Wilson was a value bump. Breece Hall, probably because you took him at 101. treaded water but was a value bump and then still treaded water even with an injury. Like, the point is, in a full year, Sky Moore is the only one that really killed you in the first round.
Yeah.
Through all the different variables and sell windows. Now, like, I just want to say that because there's so many ways you can play three or four picks. You can take, someone comes and says, hey, I want to trade into your 105. Okay. You got 111? Okay. 111 and your 24 first. Done. Let them go get their guy. You still got a first and their future to play with. Like, you can make those type moves, right? If you want to long play it. You can play the opposite of, like, okay, youth is at a peak here. Like, let me get Terry McLaurin Pless for your 110, you know? There's so many different ways to play up the leverage of four picks. Now, to Mike's point, right, you got one or two. Like, you don't have leverage. You just have a couple picks.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is where
people get into trouble.
They get into trouble and they don't know what to do. And I think the reality is, you know, Mike, I'm in a portfolio where I have a lot of different scenarios, but still my most common is one. But the reality with those teams that have one is, you fuckers all listen to me, you wouldn't let me get more, but here we are. You know, I got one pick. So I got one pick in five leagues, Mike. So in that scenario, right, you have one pick. Now, you talk about the difference in opening a pack and opening a box. You open that pack, Mike, and it's dog shit. Oof. Right? Like, that's the last thing you want.
Yeah,
you're flipping one card after the other, and you get to that last one, like, there's no more? If you took Sky Moore as your one pick in 22, you got burnt. If you took CEH and held him in 2020, you got burnt. This is where it's problematic, is this is probably what most people deal with that don't have a leverage point.
And that's why they say the cliche, like, rookies are a crapshoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a roll of the dice.
Well, because if you do one every year, even if you know everything, at the time you draft, like, you're not going to be perfect, man. You're not going to be perfect. You can't. If everybody knew today what they knew in 2020, Justin Herbert is not the 109. If everybody knew what they knew today in 2020, CEH is not the 102. That's the whole point, is, like, values are going to shift. But, Mike, when you have one pick, let me ask you, with all the shifting, what we talked about, what's your main thing you're looking for, or are you just kind of sitting patient and seeing what to do? Like, what's your play with one pick in these leagues?
So if I have one pick, it depends on where it is. So if it's in the early part, right, we're looking at 104 or better earlier. I will say this, just looking at draft classes and markets, and even as bad as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where we sit now, Adam, there's still a time, even me going into last year after 2 years of just him doing nothing and not really being that valuable, going, you know, I'll still buy CEH. Like, there's still a sell window on a guy like that because of that draft capital, right? He was the 101 in that. I remember Lewis Riddick taking him in the ESPN, like, fantasy football draft his rookie year. 101, not rookie, 101 player, 101. So there's still that. And he had some moments, right, earlier in his rookie year. Like, we're like, fuck yeah, look at him. Everything that we thought, you know, 100 yards rushing, all this stuff. I will say this. If your one pick is in the early part of the first round, I think you're fine. Like, you don't have to trade it. Ideally, I would like to. I like to build up more capital, and I like to give myself more outs and more choices and more throws at the dartboard. But I think you're completely fine. If your one pick is in the mid to the back part of the first round, Adam, I think history shows there's so many landmines back there that are hard to get out of. I mean, we talked about Jalen Reagor, but we have also talked about this when we pounded the table for Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker over, like, Treylon, right? Over those kind of wide receivers. Why? Because different positions have such giant fall-offs, and where are most of the wide receivers going to be that people are just going to throw away to the curb? In the back end, Jalen Reagor, Sky Moore, like those guys, Jerry Jeudy now. Those kind of wide receivers, the fall from grace is massive, and they're usually taken in the back part of the first round of rookie draft. So if that's my only pick, Adam, I'm trying to move heaven and earth to trade back, you know, get a early second and hopefully another pick in 24, right? And I keep doing this year after year after year. And eventually I have all this draft capital where if my only pick in 2024 or 2025, Adam, is in the back part of the first round, I now have like two or three extra seconds and decent seconds where I can go, I'm going to be the guy who's going to go from the 110 to the 104. Here, take these 2 seconds on top, and I'll get into a range where even if I miss, the parachute is nice and cozy and comfy, and I'll be fine. Like, I can tread water. I can break even. I can get out at a reasonable cost. If I don't do that, and that's my only pick is in the back end of the first, like, I'm setting myself up for disaster if I fail. And I think history shows even the best of us, like, it's like a 50-50 dart throw with some of these guys in the back end. Yes, you can hit a Justin Jefferson or Justin Herbert and be just fine, but you can also nail a Sky Moore or Jalen Reagor just as easy. You can nail a Keyshawn Vaughn or a one of these other turd running backs that gets pushed up too high. So I don't want to make my only pick if it's in the back half. If it's in the first half, I think you'd be fine. I think you'd be okay. Go ahead and make that one if you can't get a good deal done. But ideally, I'd like to move it and turn it into multiple pieces as well.
Yeah, I think too. I think the reality with one pick, right, is I think there's ways to look at it too, right? So even if you look at holding this for a while, 2020, 2021, we'll use these because those were classes that projected more like this with multiple first round quarterbacks, deeper classes, right? So when you look at worst case scenarios, Mike, right? Like, there are three players in 24 picks in those two classes that, like, if you held, you like got completely fucked. Like, you you spent a first round pick wherever it was, and you have nothing to show for it. Like, you have an asset that's dead. Okay? But you also have, like, I mean, Mike, most of these players that in their worst case scenarios, outside of the three no values, which are CEH, Jalen Reagor, and Zach Wilson, outside of those three, like, you went from a first to a second. Now, that's not minimal. Like, that does matter. A first to a second is a lot in value. But you've had a lot of time between when you've selected a player on that first and to now, where the value loss is a first to a second, you know? Like, you can still find buyers for all these guys. Here's the thing I think I'm doing, Mike, is I'm with you. Like, the early parts, willing to kind of make my bet, because I think there's also a scenario of trading out. And especially, Mike, when we talk about the quarterback landscape, like, if you have a chance to land Bijan, Gibbs, or one of the four quarterbacks, which is where we talk about a tier break for us right now of what we know today, the top six picks, I'm good, man. Like, I'll diamond hand Richardson. I'll diamond hand Levis if they're not going to play for a while. I'll take the quarterbacks that are going to play. I'll take Bijan, who's a stud. I'll take Gibbs, who's a stud. Mm-hmm. Even if they end up failing long term, I have an asset that probably can score points for me in the first four, CJ, Bryce, the two running backs, or I have a long term play that I'm holding that's going to probably carry a lot of value in Levis or Richardson. So those ones I'm okay taking, because there's going to be a point where I can trade out for more of all those guys, right? Yes. Now, when you get to the back part, I think this is where I'm scheming if I only have one, right? So I'm looking now. Like, I'm scheming. Okay. What teams don't have any picks? Now, of those teams that don't have any picks, what teams are old, crusty, maybe missed the playoffs, maybe barely snuck in the playoffs, a manager that hasn't shown resiliency, right? Like, one of these managers, like, okay, here you go. Here's 111. You know, we'll keep this thing rolling. Kind of like Mike's Eagles do with the Saints. You know, let's keep this thing going. Here you go. And I'm going to take your lottery ticket in 24, because I know what 24 brings.
You sell them hopes and dreams that this class is going to fix all their woes.
Exactly. Like, this is a manager that screams, like, I want to win. Now I'm not willing to rebuild, you know? Okay. Here you go. Come on. Come get your running back that you want to reach for here at 111. You want to pick the gem.
Exactly like the Saints. Like, I'm one Chris Olave away from turning this thing around.
Boom. You know, when you know damn well they need a whole dumpster fire full of fucking people that are way better than Chris Olave. So that's the first bet I'm trying to make. Okay. Who's willing to come get my pick for that? Also, same breath, like, okay, maybe one of these people in your league in the flip side mode. Like, you know the person. You know the person that's tapped into Scott, myself, whoever, Mike, Ray, gets to the summer, and the youth just is, I mean, it is gold. It is like a grill. I mean, it's gold. It's going to cover their whole face, their teeth. You know that you can trade that late first for a player that's probably being overlooked, right? Like, think Terry McLaurin. Think Michael Pittman. Think these guys that haven't necessarily fired on all cylinders, but have shown they're going to be safe receivers, safe players for you, right? You can make bets like that all the time. You can also, if you have the ability to, if you have the right roster construction, like Scott talks about in lineup, if you're in best ball, you have enough depth, you can package, you know? You can package that late first to go get into the top six. I think there's a lot of things to do with having just one. But what I want to stress is don't be handicapped and don't be like prisoner of the situation. You know, don't just say, I have 110. I got to figure out what to do at 110. Like, you are not forced to make the 110 pick and hold 110 for forever. A lot of this exercise, I wanted to make the case of like worst case scenario. Everybody folds up against you. Nah, fuck this guy. He can't trade any of his picks. He built up this whole class. That's not how it normally works. Like, you have a lot of points to pivot and sell. You don't have to take your 110, right? You don't have to take your 109. There's a lot of different things you can do if you have the one pick. But I really wanted to drive home for everybody listening, Dynasty Degenerates, there's so many different scenarios for how you've built your team, for your league dynamics. And I wanted to walk through a plethora of different ways that it could go. And I think sometimes what happens, Mike, is because you look and you see some busts, people are like, no, I can't take these picks. No, that you can take picks. You can withstand, but you can withhold some busts. Like, you can sustain them. Like, it can happen. It's okay. You're gonna miss, but it all depends on your situation. It all depends on your leagues. And I think walking through this ahead of time will help ease people's minds because, like, as Dynasty Degenerates, we want to know everything today. Here's the thing. I can't tell you everything today. I can't tell you the combine. I can't tell you the landing spots. I can't tell you who's going to get the draft capital. But I can guarantee you the picks are going to be fine. I can guarantee you people are going to foam at the mouth for the players that are going to eventually go. You just have to be prepared to fade the noise.
I love it, man, too. And even when you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking about it. I'm picking at 110 in 2020, and I'm following the exact advice that I gave, right? Even this is a possible miss, right? Justin Herbert's on the board at the 110, but I'm like, you know, Mike and Adam had told me you got a time machine and went back in time, whatever. Follow me along here. It's a late night. We're getting off the rails, but somehow,
let's
theoretically,
do it, man. This is 4D. We're getting way off the rails.
At the 110, Justin Herbert's on the board, but Mike and Adam told me this is my only fucking pick. This is my only pick. I know nothing about Justin Herbert. Maybe this guy busts. Maybe he's absolute ass. Maybe he's nothing. I'm going to trade back. And you trade back into a 21 first. Or you trade back into, say, the 2020 class. You trade back into the 2020 class into the second round. And maybe you pick up a 21 first, Adam. Like, that's a reasonable trade that I've seen a lot. Like, people
sure.
overvalue, like, hey, the 110, I want to get this so bad. I'll give you my, you know, future years first, and you can have my pick in the second round. Adam, there's so many outs. Like, shit, I missed out on Justin Herbert. Sitting here today, you're like, damn it, I'm kicking myself. I could have had Justin Herbert at the 110. But maybe you walked into a Justin Fields in 2021, and that second round pick that you got in 2020 was T. Higgins. Like, how are you feeling? Like, all right. Like, I missed out on Herbert, but I still did okay. I had two more shots at the fucking dartboard, and I did all right with those. Like, I did fine. The process isn't always 100%, but if you follow the process over results, man, all the time. And it's the same thing we talk about in trading, just like drafting. You ain't got to be right every time. You don't. But if you're right more often than you're wrong, and you follow the process and you stick with it, same way in trading. You turn 60, 65%, 70% every time, most of your dynasty teams are going to end up being that same success rate, right? 60, 65% of your dynasty teams are going to end up winning championships at some point. And you're going to end up with money. And you're going to end up playing for free for it the next 8 years, which is a fantastic feeling. Thank you for all your money. I don't care what I do to this team for the next 8 years. I'm playing with your guys' money. I'll be just fine. I can do whatever I want. I can sit here and I can start up new leagues. And I can join an IDP league, which I know fucking nothing about IDP, and take nothing but defensive players and have Adam laugh at me. It's going to be fantastic. But that's the freedom that you allow yourself. So my biggest advice, process over results. And if you follow some of these simple ones, Adam, like we talked about here, you got up 10, 11, 12. I think you nailed it, man. You'll be fine. You're going to have more hits and you're going to have misses in every class. Yep. Just about every class, even dog shit 2019.
Right. And not just that, like you will, right? That's the big thing. But also, like, if you think about like how Keep Trade Cut does stuff, right? Like you think the intimidating players in Dynasty, right? Now, when you get to playoffs, sure, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, these guys get intimidating. But when you think about the intimidating players in Dynasty, it's the ones that pose points per game, but are also young, right? Like when you look at a team, it's like, okay, 23, 24, also smashing points per game. Across the board, you look at a team like that, you're like, fuck, what do I do, right? I can't win now, I can't win later, I'm screwed. Like if you have a whole class of first round picks, you have so much time to pivot out, because not only now do you have this odds to hit most of them, but you've taken all that youthful excitement, hope that dynasty managers crave, that it doesn't exist for the rest of your league. Like that is a massive point. Now, I think another thing to keep in mind here, this is a little more one-off from the topic of conversation here, but like I'm just thinking, I look back to 2020 and it always amazes me. The Justin Jefferson thing always amazes me, right? And you think about the arguments, it was maybe not quite athletic enough, played a lot in the slot, wasn't, I mean, think about this for a second. Justin Jefferson was at one point, I almost don't want to say this on air because it's sacrilegious, but he's a beta. Like people thought maybe a beta Justin Jefferson, right? Because Ja'Marr Chase was there. Now think about this for a second. I'm not going to say this player is going to hit or not, but just think about like things like that, which push a guy who's checks a lot of the boxes like Justin Jefferson down the board so far, right? And like think about what could happen for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Okay, so a guy that has proven it, but then this year's hurt, and you have a younger guy who's supposedly a lot better. I mean, don't get me wrong, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a stud, but now all of a sudden, Jaxon Smith-Njigba's hurt. There's concerns about his 40 time. Does he only play in the slot? You know, these are type things to think about when you're making bets on everybody fading a certain player. Listen, maybe you take a back end first on, you land Jerry Jeudy, but if you landed a Justin Jefferson, like don't fear everybody panicking or making rash statements, because the next several months, it's going to be all statements. Outside of draft capital, combine, like the actual results, it's going to be people talking. It's going to be noise. Like you have to, if you take a single pick, make your own assessment. But I think the bigger talk here is that like there's so many different variables and mindset things that you can do with having leverage, even if you have one pick, to understand what previous classes look like, what these guys look like, what kind of bets you want to make, and how to ultimately accrue value over time. So, Mike, it's interesting, man, because I've when we started trading for 23 in Dynasty Journals, just to summarize here and finish, when we started trading for 23, right, in 21, like DJU, 101, 102, right? Like so much changes. DJU is not even a discussion, right? Like, Tank Bigsby's a top four pick. Like he's maybe a back end first round pick if things go right for him in the pre-draft process. But that doesn't matter. The picks have still accrued value, right or wrong. And now we've accrued the picks. We have the picks. What do you do? And I think the whole topic here, Mike, was different scenarios, what you do, bets to make, and what it looks like if you get stuck with one of these leverage points that you've accrued. Honestly, man, I think the biggest takeaway I have is don't be fearful. You are in the driver's seat. Like, stop worrying about what you're going to miss on and understand there's so many things you can hit on. Hold that leverage, man. It's only going to grow. And I bet you're going to be so surprised right before the draft what the value of some of these picks become.
It is crazy. And I'll leave you on one fun fact here, Adam. I don't know if you saw it today, but the news came out. Last year's 21 rookie 101 for a long time, the number one quarterback in the class, Spencer Rattler, is going back to school and won't even be a part of the 23 class. 2022 QB1, 101 overall. That's how much shit fucking changes. It gets random as fuck, right? Now he's going to be part of the 24 class because he's going back to school for another year.
And that's why Mike and I stress the difference in Devy and owning a player and owning a pick and how drastically different it can be.
100 times out of 100, give me the pick.
Yeah, so... Dynasty Degenerates, that was a long one, but I think it was a necessary one. One, I wanted to bring you into my mind and where I'm at trying to get ahead of all my leagues that I have all these picks accrued.
Yeah.
4D is about transparency, and it's also about how are we going to 4D this thing, man? Like, league mates are out here playing chess. Well, I don't want to be out here playing chess with all these picks. It's time to think big brain. You know, it's time to think McNutted on this thing. How am I going to go win a title now? Like, Mike's out here with all the money. I'm out here with all the picks. I got to 4D this thing into money. So, yeah, man, that's my thoughts on a lot of the different things. I think sometimes the leverage overplay, I think it's overblown. Like, I really do.
Yes.
The more and more I think about it. But I also think it really depends on what you're trying to do, what your team is, and how many of these picks you have and how many you're willing to make. So I wanted to walk through that for everybody.
Yeah, I definitely think it's more scenario specific than we like to lead on, right? We can just talk in a generic lens and that's all fine and dandy, but it is good to dive into, like, here's a scenario. You got, you know, you got 8 picks, you got 9 picks. What are you doing with them? You got 6. What should you be doing with them? You only got 3. You only have 1. Like a lot of people have, like a majority of people who listen to this may only have 1 pick. What do you do with that 1 pick? Well, here's the specifics. Like, this is exactly what I would do and how I want to play it. If picks early, this is what I'm doing. If the picks late, this is also kind of what I want to try to get into, what I want to try to do. So I do think we kind of have that overconfidence, and I do it in some of my leagues. I don't do it in all, and this is the benefit of playing in a portfolio too when we talk about it. Some of these leagues, I'm going to think I'm smarter than everybody else, and I'll make that pick at the 110. But more than not, in a lot of these leagues, like I'm playing with a lot of smart people, I'm playing with a bunch of Destination Devy members in the Royal Rumble. If I have a late pick, I'm going to try to leverage it into something else, man. Just for because sure. I know the odds of me being smarter than, you know, in that league, it's, you know, 28 people. The odds of me being smarter than 27 other people and trying to find an edge isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen. So let me just play the variance and try to go somewhere else. Let me try to get another pick, another 2 picks, another 3 picks, whatever the hell I can get into instead of me trying to put my ego in the way. Right. I'm better than y'all and I'm going to make this. And I think that's where a lot of people do fall into trouble, because I see it all over my leagues where it's like 1 pick, I'm going to nail the 110. And then they get burned on the 110. And then maybe the next year they get burned on the 109. And they're like, that's why rookie picks are crapshoots. Give me the proven production over. And I think right. You're selling yourself short if that's the viewpoint that you have. So I love this episode, man. It was longer than we anticipated. It's not the winner's episode, which will be coming next week. We will do it. I got to do some gloating, man. I took L's for 2 weeks.
We'll come back. We'll come back with some winners, man. But I want to help get Dynasty Degenerates ahead of getting them some winners. And, you know, Mike, what you hit on there is very key, right? So if you have the 1 pick, and I think this is where the trap can really take hold. You go back to 2020, right? So you end up with like 110, right? Loaded class. All these running backs go, I got Jerry Jeudy, Alabama, big name, route runner, right?
Yep.
You invested 110. Year after year, Now I invested 110. You know, you get sunk cost fallacy, right? Like, nah, it's Jerry Jeudy. He's going to bounce back. And then year after year, you're watching the value tread, but you don't want to let go of what you've taken hold of, right? Like that I think is one of the biggest things you don't want to do. Lean into one pick, late pick, think it's going to hit. It doesn't hit early, and you just let, you know, the value bleed. I mean, if you did that with Jalen Reagor, what I just explained with Jerry Jeudy, you literally watched value go from bad to worse to worst to you don't have anywhere to go to you're fucked, right? And that's the whole thing. Listen, I love this episode, Mike, so I appreciate you letting me kind of intervene and do an immediate emergency 23 draft class podcast before we get to our winners and our gloating from this season. So Dynasty Degenerates, I hope this was a good one for you. I hope you really think about all the different scenarios for your teams and leverage and what you plan to do and not allowing just your situation of leverage that you've built up. You've spent so much to get this. Don't let it all collapse. Diamond hand it a little longer. You got a lot of time for value to accrue. So think about that. And just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 4D chess.
That's going to do it. We're going to bounce out of here and make sure you're tapped in the newsletter to stay up to date with everything Destination Devi is doing content-wise during the offseason to help you through. We will see you same time, same place next week. Peace.